a character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Yeah, that's right. That's the new improved intro. Stunt Granny Audio 154. All right.
I just put the headline in there.
Ah, nice. All right. So, yeah, this is Jeremy. That's Kevin in the background. We're going to bring you a review, basically, of WWE programming. And that includes Raw, SmackDown, because they just combined the two shows. And then, you know, added it overnight. You know, SmackDown on Tuesday, Monday Raw for a change.
I mean, it was interesting. I don't know why it didn't feel all that out of place to me, even though I don't normally tape anything on Tuesdays.
No, not until Biggest Loser starts, and that's only if she wants to watch it again. Yeah, because they moved Justified to Wednesdays.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So that's... Well, it was on Wednesday last season.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
No. It was Tuesday, then they moved it. I think they put Sons of Anarchy on Tuesday. Or they had some other show on Tuesday. Anyways. But then, I guess, another reason that it's kind of a seamless blend now is we'll just start with Raw. Very first thing Triple H says is, in the interest of business, he's just allowing SmackDown people on Raw and Raw people on SmackDown. And in order to bring you the best product.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, people started talking about that, and I honestly do not recall him saying that.
Yeah, that was the very beginning of the show. Yeah, that was kind of glossed over, and I think it was intentionally glossed over because Raw wrestlers have been on SmackDown and SmackDown wrestlers have been on Raw, since 2-3 years ago. It's been seamless almost.
I wouldn't say that it's been seamless, but definitely between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, again, kind of the big time frame for their writing, it was definitely seamless at that point of the year. Mm-hmm. But normally, between that time period, after WrestleMania, well, you probably got the after effects of WrestleMania a month after. So let's say May through December, they usually kept things pretty well separated.
Yeah, but you would still have a SmackDown wrestler show up on Raw or a Raw wrestler show up on SmackDown too.
No.
Well, I mean,
you
I'm not talking.
You would have the SmackDown wrestler on Raw. You would not have a Raw wrestler on SmackDown.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you are. Yes.
That's the only part I wanted to correct.
Yes. Well, there's actually a really good post. It's on I Want Wrestling, Dave Lagana's site. Uh-huh. And it was about the brand split in 2009? I can't forget.
It better have been before that.
Well, no. It was talking about the brand split then, and it may have been earlier than that. But and just how they knew going into the meeting that SmackDown was getting ransacked because it was right around the time it was moving to Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And it was just interesting. That SmackDown's held in such a low regard. Just basically confirming everything that we've talked about, other dirt sheets, whatever you want to call them, have talked about, insider sources, all that. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much confirmed. Everybody goes to Raw because that's the show. But it's a really interesting read, just how they negotiated with different wrestlers to move and whatnot. So, but anyways, So Triple H says that, then immediately moves on to CM Punk, Kevin Nash. And I don't know, of all the stuff that's happened with CM Punk, I enjoyed the puking bit. But it seemed a little drawn out, but then also it seemed a little too cute. I don't know.
He has the habit of doing that, in my opinion. Because he can get a little cutesy sometimes to, you know, kind of do the little wink and nod to his fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, it kind of felt like a Family Guy skit where, Peter injures his knee and he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And part of the funniness of that to me is that it's funny at first, you get sick and tired of it, and then they do it for so awfully long that you're like, okay, yeah, this is funny because they are really dragging this out. Mm-hmm. And CM Punk only got to the second part where you were just getting tired of it.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to continue with it, yeah. But yeah, no. And then, all right, I guess this is where it's going to blend over. But so they finally booked, they took your idea.
John Laurinaitis, another mole planted idea. I'm sure they never could have thought of it on their own.
Yeah, well, you know what, screw them. We're taking credit for it. But they come out and smartly, Kevin Nash got signed to a contract, this and this, and CM Punk versus Kevin Nash, and that, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the show, I don't know, it's kind of jumping forward, but it's all one big thing.
Yeah, it was 4 hours of entertainment for us.
Well, then Triple H says, well, the match is off, now it's you and me, and then SmackDown, they push through to go to the contract signing. Punk and Triple H had their little confrontation. I don't dislike having SmackDown on Tuesday. Because it seemed like it's almost like a pay-per-view. Who the hell's fighting in the background?
Oh, Cayenne is hiking the sleeping bag around.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
Yeah, no, that's all him. Kia's just chilled out.
Okay, it sounded like someone was dragging a body through the background, so it's like, oh boy, all right. But no, the reason I'm saying that it seems like a long pay-per-view is you got a beginning of an angle and then the finish of an angle. I mean, you got all the Triple H, CM Punk set up, Kevin Nash, and it went from one end to the other really quick. So you got time. You didn't have time to digest it all, but now you do, instead of having to, think about it, then get the rest of it.
All seemed to happen way too quick.
Yeah. Well.
And, it's kind of funny when other news comes out that it starts to make sense of what just happened when you're ready to, kill them for poor booking. You're like, oh.
Okay. Well, this is in a preview for this weekend. This is in the Big 11. I took Kevin Nash, and if you're going to plan a large angle around somebody, shouldn't you have gotten the clearance way ahead of time? Now, for those who don't know what we're talking about, it's come out that Kevin Nash failed some sort of not medical procedure. What am I looking for?
It wasn't a wellness policy violation.
No, it just like a battery of tests, and he failed one. All right, I'll just put it that way because my vocabulary is losing me.
And I'm not sure what you're looking for.
No. Like they gave him a physical, and I'm not saying he didn't pass a physical. I'm not saying he failed the physical, but he didn't pass all parts of it. So you know how gun-shy they are about doing anything now to put somebody in any sort of jeopardy. I mean, on the surface, at least.
Right.
That they weren't going to allow him to wrestle. So what I'm asking, I mean, and Eric said the same thing. Shouldn't someone have covered this way ahead of time and not have to call an audible for a match that really should happen either at Survivor Series or WrestleMania?
Yeah, no, like, I don't understand why they couldn't have put some type of other stepping stone in there for CM Punk.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't care who it is in particular. Like, okay, I'm not going to say, oh, they should have gotten Shawn Michaels to come out of retirement just for this. No, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Eric's suggestion was Sean Waltman.
That would have been perfectly fine.
Yes. And I kind of hope they still have time. I still kind of hope they do something different. Because you... And we spent how much time defending, like, the logic of the booking, that it's storytelling, this and this. And then to have this happen, where it's clearly a panic hotshot, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's only a panic because of what happened in Ash, though. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. think the logic behind it is still bad. Or, yeah, no. The logic isn't bad still.
Well, all right, I'll disagree with you on that, and only because – but I was thinking that ahead of time, but then what you said, just got done saying, was they could put anybody else in this spot. Now, Dolph Ziggler doesn't have anybody to feud with right now. They kind of buried the A-Rai thing. Jack Swagger, it's not time for that to be on pay-per-view yet. So I'm thinking he just had a stellar match with Randy Orton – which we'll cover in a little bit. Why not have somehow insert Dolph into the picture? Because it is a pay-per-view called Night of Champions. All the titles are supposed to be defended. So why not, for whatever reason, I mean, come up with something. You know, Dolph comes to the rescue for Triple H or something. And have CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler. And... You can end the match with a disqualification or some cheap shit, which is fine. But it gives Dolph and CM Punk something to do for the pay-per-view, because you can't have CM Punk off the pay-per-view. That's not a question anymore.
Right.
So why not have something like that? Because look at the matches Dolph has. I mean, that one with Orton was really good. Look at the matches CM Punk's been having. Well, build it around that. It's something different, too.
I guess I say it every week, or just about every week, and I feel like I've been saying this for months now, and I know it's a bit of a homerism, but I continue to not understand why they put Ziggler in these matches with these guys for mm-hmm. long periods of time. He continues to do well. But then he's still where he is.
Yeah.
Has been the whole time. Like, ever since I started mentioning this, and I mean, I know that it's probably been at least half a year. I don't understand, because it started with Ray's first injury.
Right.
Because he had a couple of good matches with him before Ray got injured, and then they gave the title to Morrison over there on SmackDown.
Well, that's when, no, he didn't get injured. Remember, that was the wellness violation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, but no, you're right. If for whatever reason, that should have been Dolph, not John Morrison, winning the Intercontinental Championship. I've, to this day, I've never understood that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just really don't understand what they're doing with him. They, like I said, they continue to put him in good matches. They have faith in him in the ring, but man, like, even with a mouthpiece, they don't seem to want to push him any further.
Yeah. Well, with Dolph Ziggler, I know we've gotten away from CM Punk, but we'll get back to it in a little bit. With Dolph Ziggler, though, look at the people he's been in with. He's bumped up Alex Riley to have a good match. Was it one or two? Whatever it was.
It was back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. But no, but then this week's match he had with Randy Orton, I get the feeling he's going through that testing period. That's like, all right, can you hang in there with the big boys and not have one of them come back behind scenes and go, no, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. I carried him the whole time and I shouldn't have had to. And then from there go, all right, these guys are giving you the thumbs up. Now we're going to start doing something with you. That's the only logic I can apply to this, because you're right. The little time that they've given him on the mic lately, he's been good. He's changed his voice too, which I've noticed, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he just seemed to have, the last time that he was in the booth there, I think that was last week. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he really kind of slapped around Lawler on the commentary.
Yes.
Which,
oh, yeah.
I know that Lawler is not as good as he used to be, but he's still pretty sharp.
Yeah. Oh, no. Him getting the best of Lawler still, Lawler was just relying on his fat jokes the whole time, all right? But Dolph still, even with the fat jokes, played into him and smacked him around. So he was given, I mean, he was in Lawler's wheelhouse, and he was hitting him right back up the middle. I mean, you're exactly right. He covered it just fine. And, but going from that, that was last week. No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Last week was that really weird Vicky tripping and falling on her own thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then this week, they have him wrestling against a world champion. And it was a really good match. The last 5 minutes of that was great.
Yeah. Because they went to commercial pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking at the review, but I think they went to commercial pretty quick. So, yeah, really picked up after the commercial break.
Yeah. There was some, one of the sites, I think it's withleather.com, they do a best of Raw. And they said the same thing about the match. And the guy pointed out, all of Dolph Ziggler's matches start off at a crawl. And then by the end, everything, it may not be crisp, but it's organic. And I was like, what the hell are they talking about? So I went back and watched the match, and I understood what they meant, because when Orton went for that punt to the head, and Dolph popped up and super kicked him, that was one of the truly, like, surprising moves in terms of execution and then how Orton sold it. Because it wasn't like a crisp Shawn Michaels super kick. He never got the leg extended, but it looked like a natural, like a guy just defended himself instead of a wrestler performing a move.
Yeah, if you know what. Yeah.
And then he also got Randy Orton to do the middle rope DDT without it looking convoluted.
Oh, yeah, because they had noted, they're like, oh man, he didn't screw around that time or something like that to that effect.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, no, like he sits there and just holds the guy up for Lord knows how long most of the time.
Right. But not this. He went, I really liked the way he executed it, and that could be something he continues doing. Almost like a 619, you know, if the guy somehow gets put on the ropes and he does a 619, well, that could be Orton's thing now. Like, all right, he's got him, throws him through the ropes and automatically, turns him back around, that sort of thing.
Right.
I was just really surprised how fluid that looked. And it was awkward, though, because you weren't expecting it.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And, I mean, even in defeat, Dolph looked fine. He didn't get run over.
And they gave him a couple of big kick-out moments, too.
Right.
They're like, yes. Oh, man, he looks like he's... No, okay.
Yeah. And it really, that's when commentary lets you down, too. I wish they'd stop doing that, or at least have them go, oh, my God, it's over, and the guy count three. it's gone on long enough, and the audience will pick up on that, and it kills the drama of the match.
Yeah, no, they've done a good job of changing things up, but that is definitely not one of them.
Yeah. But I guess getting back to Triple H to CM Punk and that, they could, like you said, they could have found somebody different. They didn't have to. I don't think they needed to hotshot Triple H here.
No, I mean, even with some type of a screwy finish that leads to another match between the two, that isn't the solution either.
No, because you've already lost the special part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, as far as I can tell, that's one match we haven't seen before, right? Oh, no, no, they had a SmackDown match, didn't they?
Oh, really?
I think so, like 2 years ago or something like that.
Oh, okay.
If I remember right. At least they had a verbal confrontation, one of the two. But no, it's... I don't know. I don't like... They're obviously, their panic planning was not smart in this case.
No, not even a little bit.
But I think SmackDown kind of... what's it called? Not redeemed... But kind of saved it so that it didn't seem so forced. Because I thought they had a really good back and forth at the contract signing table.
Yeah, they gave that plenty of time. And CM Punk is killing it. And I thought Triple H definitely held up his end of the bargain. Like, he didn't just try to go for anything. Like, I mean, I know he ended with the... the fat joke, but
yeah, which is just stupid, but
yeah.
But no, that's what I thought. I thought Triple H gave a lot. He took a lot, and he gave a lot, whatnot. So it did build it up, but it's like it's building up for Night of Champions and not Survivor Series or something. So I guess to me. Part of it was just like, well, all right, it could have been better. I'm trying to think some of the bullet points they covered. Oh, I thought Triple H's argument that why would there be a conspiracy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, when he pushed through his new shirt and he pushed through re-signing him.
Right.
And all this other stuff.
The Living Color song, all that stuff. Yeah. I thought, from a story standpoint, that's a really good idea.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because it does put, you know, it casts doubt in it again. I don't know. It sort of saved it, but at the same time, it just reminded you, it's a one-week turnaround.
Uh-huh.
Or in this case, you know, a one-night turnaround, to be honest.
Yeah, no, they... yeah, no, this isn't good in that department.
Yeah.
At all.
No, and... It will fuel the fire for Triple H haters. And I'm sure someone's going to point out sooner or later that, well, since ratings were down, Triple H inserted himself back in the mix to get ratings back up.
Right.
You know, something like that with no basis, just the clear Triple H hate. Let's see. I don't know. Everything just kind of spells itself out now. So it's going to be, 2 weeks now before Night of Champions?
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's next Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, so you got a week. They still got a week to pull the plug on it. And I think part of the problem is not having Alberto Del Rio to sell his match with John Cena is a big, big detraction. And yet another thing where if you're WWE, you have to throw your hands up like, what are we doing? Because this isn't the first time this happened. Wasn't it? I know it was Wade Barrett,
yeah.
But also didn't the guy from Scotland that no one cares about.
Oh, Drew McIntyre.
Didn't he have the same issues?
Yeah, him and Barrett, I believe, had them all at the same time. Or both basically the same time, which is when the thingamabob, when Nexus blew up.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, because all of a sudden Nexus came out. And, like, yeah, Wade Barrett's not here this week. Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty random. So Oh, I was looking for the date. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it. But no, but it's like, you know, you guys, you have all these plans. Someone's clearly in control of it. Why is this happening again? And who's responsible? I mean, it's a big thing to have happen.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Yeah, especially after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they do have until the. It's Sunday the 18th.
So.
Yeah, because they have their countdown here, 17 days, 22 hours.
Yeah, totally lost my train of thought.
Yeah, okay, I thought you were going to have something more there, my bad.
No, I totally lost it. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, whoever is in charge of keeping the visas up to date, it's like... You know, do it one of the weeks that they didn't really need them or something like that. Like, or, you know, there's got to be some way that they can get around having to go down there on a Monday of all nights. It's like, okay, you have 6 days in the week that you can go down there. Monday is not one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, let's book them for, you know, Tuesday after last week's Raw or something. Like, I mean, I'm sure it might take a little bit of time, but, you know, that's why you schedule on that and say, hey, house show, you're fucked. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, we have two live programs, let's do it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, but also if your visa expires and you haven't renewed it, you can't work. And so you're pulled immediately from this. So... I mean, it traces back even further than that. It's like, okay, your visa's expiring. Why are you waiting to the last minute? Get your ass going. You know it's expiring. Fucking work on it. I mean, I've never, obviously the two of us aren't going to have like a work visa problem, but you think you'd be up to speed on that. And if not, you would think a major corporation that, you know, they're putting your likeness out there as their, like, you know, the champion gets all the pub. You think someone would have these sort of issues worked out ahead of time so this doesn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost the equivalent of us trying to get our student visas when I went over to Italy when I was in school, like waiting until December, you know, knowing that we were leaving in January or something like that, because the process mm-hmm. takes a while. Like, you can't just get it done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, how did nobody plan this out at all? At all?
Especially after this has happened before. But then, it not only adversely affects, you know, Alberto, but, all right, before I get to that, here's one solution they could have done. Tape a fucking backstage vignette. Tape him at his home and do a via satellite sort of thing. You know, you've never gotten, and we've talked about this with the cars, you've never gotten the impression that this is an actual man with money.
Yeah.
It's just some buffoon who comes out in a car.
Yeah. Come to think of it.
The old vignettes maybe, but you need some new stuff to sustain it.
Yeah, no, those old vignettes, but they were so... Like, they kind of had a dream state look to them.
Right.
Half the time.
That's right.
It, you know, kind of had that porn fuzz on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no, just show, like, a regular shot of his house. I don't even care if it's not his house. And, hell, I was the one that thought The Rock's wrestling room was fake.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anybody could do something and be like, oh, okay. No one's going to know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if they film it inside the Marriott or something, wherever the hell he's staying to get his visa.
I've seen those interviews in a hotel room. They don't work out very well.
Yeah, well.
That's for another time.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, I mean, they could have gone about it and just filmed someone else's house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... And put that up and then, like, just made you assume that that's where he was and just have some fancy background for him.
Yeah. Or rent out, like a top flight 5-star hotel. Get the penthouse suite and go, look, we need to shoot here for blah, blah, blah. And I know there's permits and all that crap, but fuck them. Just do it anyways.
It's and then Mexico, there are no permits.
Yeah, well, yeah, true.
Just make sure the drug cartels pay off and you'll be okay.
Throw your baggie of coke and just everyone's happy. Yeah, but no, it's they dropped the ball on it. And they tried to cover it by having Ricardo Rodriguez come out and say, he's not here this week, but here's what's going to happen.
That could have been I did like that, as you've noted, he hasn't been much of a lackey. I was glad he was kind of doing some lackey work there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it got the lackey slap, well, punch.
Here's the thing about that punch. And Michael Cole called it, and he goes, John Cena's a bully. And Ricardo did nothing wrong. He didn't insult John Cena. He didn't physically provoke him. And John Cena punched him. And it's like, wait a minute, he's supposed to be the good guy here. What the hell are you doing? You know, if Ricardo tries like kicking him and then kicking his knee out or something like that, then sure, John, you know, at least he defended himself, but I just thought that was really weird. I didn't say out of character, I just thought it was really weird to do that.
Yeah. A little bit, but A, it's hard to defend Cole because, like, earlier in the night when someone's down and out, someone completely obliterated somebody else, and I can't think of who it is offhand. And he found that it was okay. But then, that wasn't okay.
Yeah, but I think at least in the other area, for the Cole defenses, at least they were wrestlers, not a ring announcer, you know?
Right. But you know what? Everyone loves the bad guy comeuppance, even if it's just the ring announcer. He's connected with Del Rio. People hate him, so anytime he gets punched, people are gonna cheer. Yeah, okay. It doesn't make sense. The good guy shouldn't be doing that to someone who did not provoke him.
Right, right.
But in a wrestling audience, it's gonna get a pop every time.
Okay, so that segment ended, and what was funny to me was they teamed up Sheamus and John Cena later that night with no – I don't think they even mentioned that they had a history before. I can't remember.
Yeah, and I don't think they did, and they didn't even play up like any sort of level of tension between the team whatsoever.
Yeah. They're in solid Sheamus is a babyface mode, deal with it. And it's like one of those things where they forget history.
Yeah. And just about everyone forgets history because nobody really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the crowd wasn't I guess that's the hard thing. Like, what's the crowd supposed to do in that situation? Like, when you're there, like, where you go, hey, what the hell's happening here? Like, you can't get a, hey, what the hell's happening, these two guys were fighting chant 2 months ago or something. Like, that chant would just be way too much.
Yeah, well, it has the rhythm of an ROH chant, though. I mean, I guess it'd sort of work. But, yeah, I mean, it just seems like since we've been praising – like John Cena for his mic work getting better, WWE for using and reflecting history, and it's just gone not gone to shit, but it's going that way again.
The first half of his promo was terrible. The second half, I thought he really did. Was that Monday's promo or the one on SmackDown?
SmackDown was the one.
Oh no!
Really bad.
Yeah, no. It was Monday because I'm looking at it, and his match was pretty early on there.
Was that the one where he says something about Mark Henry's bad breath? I think that was the one.
Oh, no, no, no. Okay, oh, that's it. It was waited. It was until Barrett came out that John Cena got serious.
Okay, so, yeah, that was SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah, and that was SmackDown, so... yeah, I don't know which one you were talking about. Since we were talking about Ricardo Rodriguez, I figured that we were still on the SmackDown one.
Okay. Well, as we've tried to set forth, everything's just kind of mixed together.
Yeah.
But that's part of it too. Later on, I think when Sheamus came out, Cena was out there with Christian and Mark Henry, and he said something about Mark Henry's bad breath and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, what are you doing, man? You've had solid mic work for weeks now. You've really shut up a lot of the people, and I'm obviously speaking to myself in that category, that just hated everything you did, and you've turned it around. Don't regress. And then even like the next night before Wade Barrett, that was shit too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to treat every situation like it's a real situation. I think that's part of the problem. It like Mark Henry Christian came out and he's like joking around, blah 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 blah. Well, with the way Mark Henry's been, you know, on the show mowing down people, Cena shouldn't be making any jokes at all.
Oh, no, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, with Christian, I mean, honestly, Christian kind of gets what he deserves, the way they've booked him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't complain too much about that. But then, I mean, Barrett came out, he got serious, and it was good. Stick to the serious stuff.
I don't know. I guess, to me, you can't expect someone who changed for a whole month not to revert. It's like hoping the junkie is going to stay clean the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to happen, honestly. Like, especially since he's, you know, he doesn't have to worry about Del Rio coming up with anything too witty.
Oh, no. Oh, God damn. Yeah. It's cruise control mode.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, is he's definitely not being pushed right now, you know, and I think that could be a problem.
Wow, that's, you nailed it. Cena's one of those guys that he will step up to someone who's on a higher level, and then he will just regress just as fast.
He's playing to the level of the competition.
That's it. Yeah, thank you. That's what he's doing. So you need to, I mean, hey, you need to realize the guys you're getting put against are main event guys, whether you respect it or not. I mean, look what they've done with Henry. And, I mean, what you missed because your DVR didn't record was Henry very slowly and methodically destroy Randy Orton. And it all looked legit, and he just stood there. Like, who's going to stop me?
As he should.
Yeah, as he should have played the entire time he's been in WWE.
Yeah. But you know them. They can't concentrate on one big guy for any length of time. Since Kane and Big Show are taking time off, they can actually concentrate on him for a change.
Yeah. I think you called it out in your review. The Almost Live Definitely Half-Assed review of the SmackDown Super Show from last night. And, what was the question? Do you get scared getting in a steel cage, or what's it like being in a steel cage, or something like that? And Hen just turned to Matt Stryker and goes, that's the stupidest question I ever heard, with no joking whatsoever. And you're like, oh shit, he's gonna kill that man. It's just great. I mean, if Henry was better in the ring, it'd be easier to get excited. Or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of SmackDown came after Randy Orton and Christian had another match, the final one. a good one. I mean, what the fuck? It's another good match between the two.
Oh.
There you go. End of story. Whatever.
Yeah, no, it's old hat that they have a good match.
So I only mention it just to mention it.
Oh, yeah, no, and I forgot. Because I was typing, because when I put in douchebag striker gets to ask Henry dumb questions, and I was not even thinking of it, and then Mark Henry called him out. I was just like, oh, okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Matt Stryker is one of those guys I don't even really realize is on TV. He may talk and, you know, he may interview somebody, but I quickly forget that he was just on.
Oh,
so, you're calling him douchebag or whatever. I don't even acknowledge him long enough to say, oh, yeah, he's a douchebag. It's kind of nice.
Well, I keep on forgetting. That's something that I wanted to concentrate on more now that I am typing more about everyone's looks. And just the way he sets himself up, because he usually has the jeans and then a dress shirt with the tie, and now he's combing his hair. He's parting his hair to the one side. But he doesn't have, like, a hairdo that you really part to the side. It'd be like me parting my hair to the side. It's just way too short to be parting your hair to one side.
Nice.
Yeah, and the Kellers are always bad, and it's just not good. He doesn't know how to dress himself.
Yeah.
Or whoever puts clothes on him don't know how to dress themselves either, or anything else.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the producers or production assistants for wardrobe. I mean, you're supposed to pick the stuff out ahead of time.
Wardrobe sucks.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else happened on... you had Air Boom defeat McGillicuddy and Otunga. Then the next night, Air Boom. That's really awkward to say out loud.
Yeah,
it's very childish.
I don't care. Like, I understand wanting to get people involved with the voting for their team name and all, but man, whoever came up with the option for Air Boom needs to be smacked. Like, yeah, no, you're right. It's really awkward to say.
And it's just childish to me. And it's not marketable.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I don't even know if it's childish because, like, at least childish... Like, I can still say Yo Gabba Gabba, and it feels catchy to me.
Okay. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Even though I know it's a kid's thing, like, there's something about it. And, like, that is so kind of childish. Like, it's not childish in a good way.
I was trying to think of something else that goes along with the Yo Gabba Gabba. Like, SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yeah.
It just kind of fits. I mean, I don't know if it's the name of a character, but...
Yeah.
But no, Air Boom. No adult wants to say that. No adult is going to buy a shirt that says Air Boom.
Or...
Because you know it's going to have, like, a picture of, like, a bomber on the front. Then the back have, like, a bomb with Kofi's little... stenciled face,
yeah.
But right as as the bomb's hitting the ground, it says boom in a cloud. Like,
yeah,
just
his little character face can be the mushroom part of the mushroom
cloud. Air Boom. Ugh.
Yeah, no, it's just it's an awful name. Like, they should have said, people, you suck. We're going to name it something else.
Well, I always thought the name Strike Force. Remember old Tito Santana, Rick Martel?
Yeah.
I always thought that was a forced name, because I'll never forget the promo. It was Martel and Santana after winning. I think they won the title, or they were together. And Santana and his accent's like, "Yeah, we're striking with force. We're Strike Force." And I'm like, "What? That's awful." And you got like the Hart Foundation, the Nasty Boys. I mean, the Brain Busters, that name sucked too. Demolition.
Powers of Pain.
Yeah, Powers of Pain. And then you've got Strike Force. The Twin Towers. That was a cool one.
Yeah, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they weren't quite around at that time period, but...
But still, as tag team names go, yeah. I mean, even now, Kings of Wrestling, World's Greatest Tag Team, Strike Force, and Air Boom.
Yeah, it ranks up there with the Italian Stallions and...
That one's still better than Air Boom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no question. What was the Vicious and Delicious? Oof. A bad name. I mean, it fit them, but it's still not Air Boom.
So is their awful name a bigger story than the fact that for three shows now, they have actually pushed a tag team?
Yes. Yes, it is, okay. Actually.
Yeah, okay, I just wanted to put the question out there.
Okay, what did you just say, though? That they've pushed a tag team. Well, there you go.
Yep.
And what's that one tag team's name?
Air Boom.
There you go. So,
I mean, touche, my good sir.
Yeah, I mean, if they had anybody else teaming together, the Usos were on SmackDown for a couple matches. They broke up Slater and
Gabriel,
which is a smart move.
And they're burying Slater with a quickness.
Yeah, that's fine. Who else?
Well, the news came out today that McGillicuddy might be getting repackaged.
Oh yeah. So they're possibly talking about changing his name back to Joe Henning. Because the problem is that McGillicuddy is holding him back. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, his plainness. It's just kind of weird that all the second generation or second or third generation guys are just in an awful position outside of Orton.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but Cody Rhodes, we can all talk up his mic skills as much as we want to, but his size is going to limit him in the WWE.
And not wearing knee pads isn't helping, too.
No, that definitely helps show off his skinny-ass legs.
Yep.
Then you got Ted DiBiase, who isn't doing much. Well, doing even worse than fucking Cody Rhodes. The Usos aren't doing much. Tamina, well, she doesn't count because she's a woman.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
No. I mean, come on. Like, the women's division isn't much better. I could probably say the same thing, but really, they're only pushing Beth and Natalya.
What is their the Divas of Doom? Is that their name? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's one.
That's not a horrible name. It's still better than Air Boom. But yeah, there is no, there's no tag teams.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm not going to get excited about them going, yeah, we want to have a resurgence of the tag teams. Well, who the hell are you going to face?
Well, the Usos are the team that's the closest at this juncture.
Yeah, but okay.
Honestly, but yeah, after that, they still have nothing, and they need to, you know, use more of their programming time to devote to a team or two. I don't put Hawkins and Ryder back together.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yep.
Well, they got rid of David Hart Smith, but they never gave the Hart Dynasty much of a chance.
Yeah.
They gave the belts, but again, you really can't say, I guess, they gave a tag team a chance. I don't think that's fair to say. Outside of Jericho and Big Show, they bumped up every team they faced. They made those belts important. And then they just said, oh, all right, you're not the tag team champs anymore, so don't worry about being important. But, yeah, you're not going to see Air Boom on a poster anytime soon.
Yeah, you might.
Well, yeah, for the kids, maybe.
Yep. Especially when Evan Bourne starts painting his face, growing out dreadlocks.
He's gotta get better on the mic. That was such a disappointment.
Yeah, no, he had that one good appearance whenever they were doing that charity event, and I think he's sucked the two or three times they've given them the mic since then.
Yeah, and it's really frustrated. He has, as I've said countless times, the marketability that he has is ridiculous. But he's got to be better in public speaking. He just has to be. But
yep, I completely agree, because he is a good-looking fella.
Yeah.
And he has the finisher that everyone loves.
Yeah, I mean, it's dead horse material, but doesn't mean it's any less true. So.
Yep.
What the hell else happened? It seems like we're missing something, but...
Yeah, you know, the funny thing was I clicked on both of them. And, yeah, I mean, the other mini resurgence is kind of the women who are... But it's just Kelly, Eve, and Natalia, and what's her name? Beth Phoenix getting any type of publicity out of it.
Right. And they throw the Bellas in there, but who gives a shit?
Well, they just keep on throwing them in there to lose.
Yeah, well, and then they go ahead and win Monday. It's like, okay, whatever. I did like your comment about when did Alicia Fox start teaming with the Faces? You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot she got attacked. And I was like, oh, like, yeah, that's right.
That was one thing. The announcing to me on Super SmackDown was far better than on Raw. That three-man, and maybe it's just because they've been a three-man booth now for a little bit of time, that and Cole really toned down the heel level. Like, he was definitely still a heel, but he wasn't so over the top that it was ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. And that's where he needs to be. And it would help the product, but...
Yeah, because he seemed like he was still amped up on Monday. It's like he's still, you know, grouchy, too grouchy with both JR and Lawler.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking at the matches and it's just like, yeah, there's the Kali thing with
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal already getting the fucking short end of the stick. Thought that because who was that that they ended up attacking? I just saw it.
Sheamus.
Oh, Sheamus. Yeah, it's like, well, Sheamus isn't, if Mark Henry's taking on Randy Orton for the belt, what does Sheamus have to do? Why not put I don't know. Maybe they want Mahal to still win or something, so they just had him get his ass kicked once.
Yeah. I know the other big news was Sin Cara apparently going heel on Daniel Bryan.
Oh.
Or if that's the same Sin Cara.
Yeah.
That confuses the hell out of me. All right, well, here he was there, but they told him, don't worry about it, the other guys are going to wrestle it, so we left, then they needed him, and what?
That was definitely the new Sin Cara last night.
Okay. Sorry, I got to go back and look.
Their body type is, it's noticeably different. Like, that guy looks more like a Rick Martel build when how do you say the original Sin Cara, I guess, at least in the WWE land?
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely more svelte, a little, taller and leaner. Well, I don't know if he's taller, but he's definitely a leaner build.
Yeah.
And he moves a bit, he's quicker in the ring. Like, that new guy, he knows how to execute moves, which is...
Yeah.
Is a huge plus.
It's also a huge requirement too. But yeah, I mean, that's, I think, all the big details.
Yeah. And that, yeah. And that's another one weird to me. Like, I don't understand why Brian keeps on losing. Like, it's another one of those things. It's just like it'll never make sense to me. No matter how many times I bitch about it, I will never understand the losing streak gimmick.
No, I don't understand it at all. It doesn't gain sympathy. It never does. It makes you look weak.
Yeah. Like, I mean...
And unworthy.
They consistently use it, and they seem to be using it with Brian because he's waiting until WrestleMania. I don't know. Maybe they're going to build up his frustration. He's going to boil over and, you know, cheap shot somebody.
Yeah,
and this is really, really long-term booking. But, I don't have any faith in them for something like that.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about covers our midweek pay-per-view, essentially. I guess we'll have more thoughts on the brands, you know, coming together and all that later.
And I think it'll be better to see what happens these next couple of weeks, too, to see how often they trade over.
Yeah, yeah. Because SmackDown needed something. The rating went up, so it's good. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. So, all right. I'm going to wrap up. So here goes. StuntGranny@gmail.com, @StuntGranny, @DustyGiebig, @GrannyMaze, @DeFringo11. You can find Eric on your own. We are on iTunes now.
Yes.
And it works. I just don't know how to tell you how to subscribe because I forgot. Look for us, but just look under either for title as Stunt Granny or artist as Stunt Granny. I got to work out the tagging on these so that it comes across exactly as, you know, the easiest find. But we are on iTunes now. You can subscribe, and it does work. It's really weird because it almost feels like a validation, and it shouldn't be. So I'm out. We'll get you next time.
Okie doke, grandkids. It's time for sippy time beer, and I got lucky enough to get a sale of Sam Adams summer style beers. And it was a 12-pack for $10.99 because they needed to move the cases. And I'm going to go snag one of those, and I'm going to enjoy my night.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?